You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Hey, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, April 2nd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could make it here. For the next 2 hours, we're going to be discussing marijuana, cannabis, hemp, ganja, weed, pot, herb, muggles, tea, jive, whatever you like to call it. We're talking about it, and we're taking your calls in hour two on our new toll-free line, 844-420-RADIO. That's 844-207-2346. That's hour two, so hold on for now. We got an hour of news and information to cover first, and we are just jam-packed today with all sorts of great stuff to bring to you. Coming up at the end of this hour, one of my favorite ever moments from the Oregon State Legislature. As you know, we're debating the legalization of marijuana that has been implemented by our vote on Measure 91. We currently have this committee, a joint committee, as it were, that is studying this implementation, and they had a meeting last night. I was unable to attend this meeting, but they have all their meetings archived up on the state legislative website, and I was pointed to some comments that happened at the very end of the meeting, all the way 2 hours through, that I just had to share with you on today's show. So we've got the top-ranking Republican in the Oregon State Senate, his comments on the Oregon Liquor Control Commission's ability to be able to regulate marijuana in the state, and it's pretty funny. I hope you stay tuned for that coming up at the end of this hour. Also on the show today, we're going to do a little legalization law and order in our half past segment, and normally we'd be speaking to some lawyers, but today I want to point you to a very important organization called the Clemency Project, and a woman who works there. Her name is Beth Curtis. She's probably America's leading expert on marijuana offenses, outrageous marijuana offenses, and she's got a post up at theclemencyreport.org. She also works with lifeforpot.com. As you know, President Obama commuted the sentence of one prisoner serving life in prison for marijuana-related offenses. We're going to give you a top 10 list of 10 more people who are serving life for pot that President Obama ought to think about giving some clemency to. They need to be released and be set free to their families, grandchildren, and so forth. All right. Also on the show today, in our drug war data mining, we're going to ask the question, what's up with lady tokers? I saw a recent report on dating sites that are trying to get the cannabis community all hooked up. In fact, we may be interviewing one of those site owners pretty soon on the show. But I often wonder how successful it can be, given that marijuana smoking is so much more a male-dominated phenomenon. We'll take a look at the demographics between men and women marijuana smokers in the drug war data mines. Also coming up in Behind the Headlines, you've been hearing all the stories about the state of Indiana that has recently passed it's a discrimination law, a law that allows religious-based businesses to discriminate against people, particularly gay and lesbian people. I'm going to give you some of my opinions on that and what it has to do with marijuana. There's actually a very interesting marijuana tie-in in this story. But all that comes after the 420 Radio News. And in the headlines today, good news for veterans who need medical marijuana for PTSD. We got some Canadian Supreme Court news about cannabis-infused edibles. There was a debate in Ohio over legalizing marijuana. We'll tell you a little bit about it. Santa Fe, New Mexico passed Decrim, but did it really do anything? We'll tell you if it did or not. And the best April Fool's Day prank that was passed yesterday happened in Arkansas. We'll tell you all about it coming up next on the Russ Belleville Show.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio.
Are you tired of storing your herb in back alley baggies? Then keep your herb fresh and protected with Pottles. Pottles are airtight and odor-free, not to mention they're reusable, BPA-free, and UV-resistant. Pottles come in a variety of sizes, styles, and colors, so go check out Pottles at mypottles.com. Use the code STASH to get an additional 10% off. Again, that's mypottles.com, mypottles.com, and tell them Radical Russ sent ya.
Funky Roller Rink.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your Funk Master of Ceremonies, Big Daddy, and I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink. Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
There's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Support for 420 Radio comes from Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies, a guide to gardening with nature, authored by Kip Zonderkopf. Based on the ethos that a living soil is the foundation of a thriving garden, Kick-Ass Cannabis and Veggies is your guide to naturally growing resinous buds and nutrient-rich veggies. Get the ebook now with instant download at kickassorganics.com. Previews available on Amazon, iTunes, Nook, Google Play, Kobo, and many other online retailers.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. A year after the federal government approved a study for the use of marijuana by veterans in treating post-traumatic stress disorder, the work may at last get underway. The National Institute of Drug Abuse on Wednesday informed the Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies that it is ready to supply researchers with marijuana needed for the study, Brad Burge, spokesman for MAPS, told Military.com. The study will mark the first federally approved study in which the subjects will be able to ingest the marijuana by smoking it, he said. It will also be, quote, the first whole plant marijuana study, end quote, meaning the marijuana will not simply be an extract of the cannabis in a manufactured delivery system such as a pill. Burge said 76 veterans will take part in the study, which will measure the effects of different potencies of smoked marijuana in treating their symptoms. The Veterans Affairs Department estimates that between 11 and 20% of Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans suffer from PTSD. For veterans of the Persian Gulf War, the estimate is 12%, and for Vietnam veterans, 15%, the VA estimates. Recently, Canada's Supreme Court met to determine whether cannabis-infused edibles should be allowed under the country's medical marijuana program, the MMPR. While no ruling has been issued yet, the question presented was whether Health Canada restricting patients from legally accessing and consuming edibles, in addition to physician-prescribed cannabis, violates their patients' constitutional right to life, liberty, and safety. Insisting you have a constitutional right to eat an infused cookie may seem a little absurd, but it's what Owen Smith's lawyer argued after his client was charged with possession for the purpose of trafficking and unlawful possession of cannabis after he was arrested for having infused cooking oil and a couple hundred cookies in 2009. Smith was acquitted in 2012 after the judge agreed that removing a patient's choice of consuming edibles as a medicinal option forces that patient to smoke medical marijuana at the expense of his or her health. Supporters and opponents of legalized marijuana in Ohio clashed over potential medical and economic impacts yesterday at a Columbus Metropolitan Club forum. Representatives from Responsible Ohio, the group pushing a legalization ballot issue for the November 3rd general election, said at the forum that the Athletic Club of Columbus that if passed, the measure would end a dangerous black market in Ohio. In its place, the group argued, would be a regulated system that would create jobs and provide help for people with chronic illnesses who would benefit from medical marijuana. Opponents from the Drug-Free Action Alliance of Ohio and a similar group in Colorado countered that the legalization proposal is nothing more than a drug cartel intended to make a small number of people rich. They also argued it would trigger increased marijuana use by young people and more health problems and societal costs. Police in New Mexico's capital appear to be largely ignoring a new city ordinance that decriminalizes possession of small amounts of marijuana, according to records. Dozens of police reports show that Santa Fe officers, since November, have been filing cases only under state statute in magistrate court. Those cases involve possession of an ounce or less of marijuana or marijuana paraphernalia. Since November 5th, when the last verifiable citation was issued under the city ordinance, there have been more than 70 charges under the state statute. After the Santa Fe Council voted last summer to adopt the new ordinance, officers were given discretion to issue citations either under municipal or state law. Those charged under state law face a criminal petty misdemeanor punishable by up to 15 days in jail and fines of up to $100 that remains on a person's record. Under the city's ordinance, offenders are charged with a civil violation subject to a maximum $25 fine. A sign for what would be Arkansas's first medical marijuana dispensary appeared on an abandoned Easy Mart location Wednesday. Of course, marijuana is still illegal in Arkansas. It is also likely no coincidence that the banner appeared on April 1st. The 10-foot banner placed on the front of the building located at 2341 North College Avenue advertises Arkansas-grown marijuana dispensary will open on April 20th. According to the sign, the business would serve Madison County's finest crops for both medicinal and recreational use. Nobody seems to know who placed the sign, and the building owner has no idea where it came from either. But that's my kind of April Fool's Day prank. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, April 2nd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Radio, the activist radio station.
The Fingerboard extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Welcome back, everyone. Time for us to go behind the headlines, where we're taking a look at Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the controversial law enacted recently that is basically nothing more than discrimination. Let's not even beat around the bush on this. This is for people to be able to use the excuse of their religion in order to discriminate against gay people. That's exactly what this is for. This is exactly what it's expected to do. And now, of course, they're backtracking now that major corporations that, you know, like selling things to gay people and have lots of gay people that work for them don't seem to like this bill so much. And the dollar is beginning to speak. And Indiana is trying to backtrack on this thing. But I didn't want to get so much into that angle of it other than to, make sure everyone's well aware that you can dress up your hate in any kind of language you like. You can call it religion, you can call it culture, you can call it tradition, you can call it law, but hate is hate, and you're not fooling anyone here. But I did want to get to this unintended consequence of the religious freedom law there in Indiana, and that is the Church of Cannabis that has been formed. And it's been formed by this gentleman, goes by the name of Bill Levin. And, you know, folks, this is one of those moments where I do regret not having video. Because the picture of this guy in U.S. News and World Report, this Bill Levin fella, man, he looks a little like, you know, Belzer from the SVU. Is it the SVU, the Law and Order, whichever one, right? I know him as the Bells, right? Belzer. I'm named Belleville, so I would notice a guy named Belzer. He kind of looks like Richard Belzer if he had a Muppet haircut. You know, Beaker from the Muppets, kind of cross those two and you got this guy, right? And so this, just the picture, I'm judging, I'm sorry. Okay, he's probably a very nice fellow. But he's formed this Church of Cannabis, and the U.S. News and World Report story calls it Indiana Church of Cannabis Growing Like a Weed. Levin tells U.S. News and World Report, quote, "I created the fastest growing religion in America last week. I've got to cork the leak up that Indiana Governor Mike Pence caused with love." And of course, it's one of these, you know, church of the plant churches, you know, and basically the church is, we like to smoke pot and we like it a lot, right? Keith Strop said it best. I like pot. I smoke pot and I like it a lot, right? So that's really what this church is all about. They don't have any traditional deity at the top of the church. It's really an excuse to smoke pot. Now, I got no problem with that. I'm a big fan of smoking pot myself. I don't feel any need to put any mysticism around it or claim any religious exemption for it. The way I read the Constitution is that we are endowed by our Creator, whatever you think that to be, with certain inalienable rights, and that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But that's among many natural rights that we have that aren't enumerated in the Constitution. And you got to think that a nation founded by a bunch of hemp farmers would think you have a natural right to plant seeds and sow crops. Also, have you seen the bar tab from the Constitutional Convention? It's something, you know, if you're a history buff, look this up. The bar tab from the Constitutional Convention. Our founding fathers were party animals, man. These guys could drink. Oh, man, they put it down. And I refuse to believe that those guys would have written a constitution that didn't accept the idea that we have a natural liberty, a natural right over our own consciousness. These are men well acquainted with the grape, well acquainted with the hop, well acquainted with the crops that get you drunk, the apple ciders too. So I refuse to believe that they wouldn't have seen a natural right to sow plant crops, harvest those crops, and turn them into something that might alter their consciousness. Just can't believe that. But the way this is working here, according to Levin, is that marijuana charges are a state court thing, generally, right? So the feds can come in and bust you, but generally it's state courts, right? The new religious freedom law says the state cannot, quote, substantially burden a person's exercise of religion, end quote, except when the state uses the, quote, least restrictive means of furthering that compelling government interest, end quote. Now, this is the same sort of compelling government interest test and balancing act that is in the federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And to date, it hasn't yet been used to free all of the pot churches from the federal ire, so I'm not sure it's going to be any more successful at the Indiana level, because it always comes down to this little argument about compelling government interest. See, the least restrictive means of furthering the compelling government interest, the government interest in this case is to punish people who smoke pot. That's the compelling government interest, to ban the smoking of pot and punish people who do so. Now, if you have a religion that says it's okay to smoke pot and you can't bust people for it, and joining that religion is as easy as clicking something online, then that certainly burdens the government's ability to bust people for pot. So I don't know that this is a good legal strategy, but I got to tell you, in the court of public opinion, it's genius. It's brilliant. And kudos to Levin here for founding the church and fighting this law and taking it to court if he has to fight for this thing. Because if any good can come out of this ridiculous hate-filled law, then I'm for it.
Hide the dope.
We don't have any dope.
Then what did I just smoke?
And to be clear, what I'm for is this Church of Cannabis going through and fighting this law. I'm not in any way for this hateful, discriminatory law. Man, I sure wish religions could grow up someday and recognize they're not the only people on the planet and some people believe different than them. It's okay to have your religious belief, but keep your religious belief to yourself and stop expecting everyone else to bow down to it.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts. Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
I like funky music, baby.
I like funky
music, yeah. I like funky
music. Hey, this is Big Daddy, and I want you to check out my show, The Funky Roller Ring, right here on 420 Radio, because we love us some funky music.
Funky Roller Ring.
I like it like that.
Are you in the market for portable vaporizers now? Get online to vapes.buzz, the quick and easy link to portablevaporizersnow.com. Vapes.buzz has everything you are looking for, including vape pens, herbal vaporizers, e-juice, parts, accessories, and more. Visit vapes.buzz and use promo code 420radio to get 10% off your online purchase, or just give them a call at 866-264-2415. Vapes.buzz. Get vaping, baby! Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everyone. Almost 23 after the hour, and the other day I was flipping through the internet, and I saw an ad for, actually it was a magazine article, I think. It was an article on cannabis dating sites that are starting to happen, people trying to hook up, 420-friendly hookups. I think the leader in this is probably Hi There, which is that new app that Todd Mitchum is behind. If the name Todd Mitchum sounds familiar, he was the PR guy at OpenVape that we blasted for their drug test policy, but he's back and he seems to have learned a little bit about the community and is willing to make amends and has put together this new app called Hi There for people to hook up that are 420 friendly. And I understand the need for this, although, you know, I'm married and not really into the, you know, not dating or anything like that. So I don't have a need for these apps, but I do understand that this is the way people are meeting each other these days, or through things like Match.com and eHarmony and so on. And it can be tough being pro-cannabis when you go through these sorts of hookups and these sites and meeting these strangers. And you meet someone who's nice and wonderful and everything works out so well until they find out that, oh, you like herb and they like, you know, cosmopolitans or whatever drink they like to drink, right? And it's just not going to work out between you, right? So I understand putting together these marijuana-friendly dating sites. My question is, can they work economically and demographically? As it is, probably already on dating sites, and to be honest, I don't have any stats on this. I didn't do any research on the general scene, but I would think it would be male-dominated. I think there'd be more men out there than women looking for a mate. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe these dating sites are more female-friendly. I don't know. But I know when it comes to the marijuana community, at least based on what we get from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, that more marijuana is being used by men than women. and that there are more male tokers than there are female tokers. Taking a look at the 2013 data in the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, when you go there to the website, you can break it down by gender. So we're going to select for this the marijuana flag, which is, have you ever smoked marijuana? And this is MRJFLG is the, did I get that right? MRJ, ever use marijuana? Marijuana flag, okay. And then we can control that. We can use for a column someone's gender, you know, which, whether their sex, right? So running this table tells us that just as, and this is just ever used marijuana in their life, the breakdown here of people who have never used marijuana is half of men. 50.5% of men have never used marijuana. But when you look at women, it's 60%. 61.2% of women have never used marijuana. Now, we do have to always add the caveat that we're talking about people willing to be honest with an anonymous pollster, calling them on the telephone representing the federal government. Maybe they're lying a little, but generally speaking, we do see that we have far more women than men who have never smoked pot in their lives by an 11-point margin. There are 64 million men 62 million men who have ever smoked pot in their life, and there's only 52 million women who have ever smoked pot in their life. So we're already starting from kind of a deficit when we're looking at if you're a guy trying to get on one of these sites and meet someone. There are, but as we move further up in someone's marijuana use, we're going to find, like, for example, if we do past year use, and this is of marijuana only, and run that and break it down by the genders, we find there are 12 million men who have used marijuana in the past year versus 8.9 million women, 12.8 million versus 8.9 million. So once again, we're in a situation where there's about 5 million more, 4 million more men who have smoked pot this year than women that have smoked pot this year. And it gets worse from our perspective as men if you get it down to what I would call stoner level. People that are using marijuana pretty regularly, past month use. We get to past month use and we run this for gender. And the table tells us that there are 9.8 million men who have smoked marijuana in the past month. And this is ages 12 to 17, or 12 on up, I should say. So we are including teenagers in this, and that might skew things a bit. And there are 6.1 million women that have used marijuana in the past month. So again, almost 4 million. There seems to be this constant gap of about 4 million people when it comes to marijuana use. Now, we can do some selection on this.
420 Radio, fighting prohibition since 2012. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal, ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by thousands of dedicated defense attorneys fighting to end prohibition and keep us free. The Russ Belville Show visits with the tireless courtroom crusaders in our legalization, law, and order.
Welcome back. And today we are going to be talking about a particular project out there that I think deserves more attention. And it was brought to my mind by the recent news of President Obama commuting the sentences, the life sentences of 22 prisoners of the drug war. Unfortunately, only one of those prisoners was a marijuana prisoner. Most of the prisoners, their sentences had to do with crack cocaine and other drugs. But one, we're glad to have the one who was released, but there need to be more that are released. And to that end, I turn to the Clemency Report. You can find their website at clemencyreport.org and the reporting of Beth Curtis, who is the nation's number one expert on extreme marijuana sentences. The post she puts up is the top 10 most outrageous marijuana sentences. These are 10 men who should be freed by President Obama. Number one is John Nock. He's age 67. He's serving life without parole for a nonviolent first offense. He was a Presbyterian minister in a small Midwestern town, married to a homemaker, and moved to San Francisco in the late 60s. And joined the Good Earth Commune in Haight-Ashbury. He was out of the business and living in Hawaii in 1994 with his wife, who was completing her PhD in biology, and his son, age 23, when he was indicted as a part of a loose group of entrepreneurs who imported marijuana in the 1970s and 1980s. You can learn more about John Nock at the Clemency Report, clemencyreport.org. Number two prisoner would be Paul Free. The ironically named Paul Free, age 64, serving life in a federal prison. He's the former manager of the Coronado Playhouse Theater in his California hometown and completed a marine biology degree from the University of San Diego shortly before his arrest in 1994. At the time, he was living in Mexico, teaching English and organizing a school. These skills helped him teach GED classes and achieve the highest graduation rate in the federal prison system. Today, Paul is recovering from an apparent stroke suffered 2 years ago. His devoted mom died a few years ago at age 100. He's a talented man serving life without parole and doesn't deserve to die in prison for a nonviolent marijuana offense. You can learn more about Paul Free at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number three is Leopoldo Hernandez Miranda. He's age 76. He's doing a life sentence. He has been called the most deserving clemency candidate you've never heard of. He's a Cuban fisherman with a fourth grade education and limited English skills. He lacks the ability to advocate assertively for himself. A minor player in a phony marijuana importation effort, which was a DEA sting, Leopoldo was a day laborer who was harvested into a life without parole sentence that is entirely undeserved. Leopoldo is the victim of one of the nation's most disgraceful marijuana sentences. You can learn more about Leopoldo Hernandez Miranda at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number four is Antonio Bascaro. He's age 80. Now, he is set to be released in June of 2019, but he's age 80. He's a historic figure in two ways. He has been in prison longer for marijuana than anyone in United States history, nearly 35 years, even exceeding the 29 years Bobby Tuna served. Second, this amazing man was a Cuban war hero who battled Fidel Castro during the revolution and again during the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion. In 1958, Antonio crashed a plane that is now featured in Cuba's Museum of the Revolution. Antonio, captured, had breakfast with Raul Castro, Fidel's brother and now Cuba's official leader, who tried to convince the young pilot to change sides and head the Revolutionary Air Force, Antonio refused. After escaping execution, Antonio was a role player in a group who helped import marijuana from Colombia to the U.S. by fishing boat in the late 1970s. The Cuban who ran the business was released in 1994. The legendary American pot wholesaler who bought and distributed all the pot was released in 1996. Only Antonio, now age 80 and in a wheelchair, remains in prison. You can learn about Antonio Barrasco at the Clemency Report. ClemencyReport.org, lifeforpot.com. Number five is Kenny Kubinski. He's age 67, federal prisoner, serving life. He won 3 Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star for valor in Vietnam. We repaid him with a life without parole sentence. Kenny owned a construction company with his brothers when he was arrested in 1993 for marijuana and a little cocaine. He was taken away from his wife Jacqueline, a preschool teacher, and 3 kids, a 6-year-old boy and 2 preschool girls. In retrospect, Kenny believes he was suffering from PTSD, a condition not well understood at the time. His release would honor our nation and be an act of compassion for his wife and children, who are now grown. You can learn more about Kenny Kubinski at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. Number 6 of the 10 prisoners that President Obama should grant clemency to is Larry Duke. He's age 67. He's a nonviolent grandfather and master tinkerer serving life without parole for marijuana. He's been locked up since 1989. When Larry, a decorated Marine who served in Vietnam, was asked what he would like to say in an article about him, he wrote, "A lifelong friend, Marty Brennan, died, and his burial at Arlington National Cemetery is scheduled for December 2014. I would sure like to show up and say goodbye." And of course, he was never able to. What we would like to say about Larry, he's a remarkable man, an inventor, dreamer, and problem solver of so many accomplishments that he cannot easily be summed up in a few sentences. If you'd like to read more about Larry Duke's story, federal marijuana prisoner serving life without parole, it's at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. Number 7 federal prisoner deserving of clemency is Billy Deakel. He's age 65, federal prisoner. Billy was a smart, adventuresome cowboy of a young man. He flew planes in high school, joined the Marines upon graduation, and transported bales of pot in his 20s. Gringo Billy, he was called, and he went where the pot was, Colombia, Nicaragua, Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Belize, and brought it home to American consumers. He was a character from a Jimmy Buffett song, making $20,000 or more some months and pissing it away as fast as it came in. He was arrested in 1990 and is serving life without parole. Today, Gringo Billy is Poppy Billy to his grandkids. He's eligible for Social Security and Medicare. He has a bum knee. His wife, a school administrator, and his 2 grown daughters, teens when he went away, now in their 40s, want this good man home for his final years. 25 years for pot is more than enough. Learn more about Billy Deakel at clemencyreport.org, lifeforpot.com. The number 8 prisoner deserving of clemency, Craig Cecil. Craig's life without parole sentence shows how federal conspiracy law produces outrageously unjust results, legal, but entirely disconnected from reality. Craig owned a towing and truck repair shop near Chicago for 23 years. He had 14 tow trucks and a big garage. His customers included truck rental companies and cops, 16 police departments, 2 Illinois State Police districts, and the Cook and DuPage County Sheriff's Departments. One of his repair clients, Sunhill Trucking of Florida, was accused of using their trucks to smuggle marijuana from Mexico. Craig was never charged with buying, selling, possessing, or using marijuana. But the government claimed the truck repairman knew what Sunhill Trucking did and helped repair and prepare the trucks for smuggling. Craig then was responsible for every ounce of marijuana that Sunhill Trucking may have touched, whether he saw the pot, whether he profited from the pot, or whether he even knew it ever existed. He pled guilty in 1992, but tried to revoke the plea bargain and was sentenced to life without parole. Wonder why so many hold the federal justice system in such low esteem? The story of Craig Cecil is one glaring example why. Learn more about his case at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number 9 prisoner is Jeff Mazansky, age 61. He's in prison in Missouri, serving life without parole. Jeff Mazansky is an inmate who's gathered considerable support for his unjust Missouri state sentence of life without parole for marijuana. He has nearly 400,000 signatures on his change.org petition. He received life without parole for buying a few pounds of pot. Governor Jay Nixon, a Democrat, has refused to act on Mazansky's clemency request. Why? The governor has dodged the question. Politics and justice are a poor match in Missouri. Learn more about Jeff Mazansky at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. And finally, in the top 10 list of these prisoners, of which there are far more that we could talk about, this is just the top 10. Fred Cundiff, age 68. Charles Fred Cundiff had been behind bars for nearly a quarter of a century for a nonviolent marijuana offense. Fred was a married father of three when he got caught up with eight others in a reverse sting to buy marijuana in Tallahassee in 1991. Fred wasn't a key person in the deal, but under conspiracy law, all defendants are held responsible for the entire weight of the cannabis. Fred had two previous minor convictions for growing pot, and that got him a mandatory life without parole sentence. You can learn more about Fred Cundiff at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. And huge thanks to Beth Curtis for all the work she is doing on this issue. The Clemency Report, The Human Solution is another group that is doing fantastic work in bringing these cases to light. The more you can give to help these people, the better. This is something that is going to be a problem until we legalize and even after we legalize marijuana. Still today in Colorado and Washington State, there are people that are serving time for things that are perfectly legal to do with a license now in Washington and Colorado. If we have declared that these things are no longer crimes, these activities are no longer crimes, then what are we punishing these men for? Other than it was illegal at the time they did it? We have to punish them for the mistaken understanding of cannabis by our society in the past? That seems cruel and unusual, and doesn't that violate the Eighth Amendment somehow? It's these men I think about when I read Stoners Against Legalization, wanting to fight this legalization or that legalization, because it's just not true legalization. It's not perfect enough. Sometimes they actually bring up these prisoners, that the initiatives don't free all these prisoners, as a reason to vote against the initiatives. Folks, it gets easier to set these guys free the more legal we make it. If we never make it any more legal, these guys never get out of prison.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, your ticket to the Boston Freedom Rally.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
America's 007 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville.
Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Goldfinger. That's right, it is the Russ Belville Show. Stay tuned. Coming up next, we got a radical rant where I praise a Republican. Yes, you don't want to miss this. Also, coming up in hour two, we're going to give you more on the MPP Arizona scandal going on down there with Rob Campia. Talked a bit about it in yesterday's show. Got some updates from Rob Campia himself and Mason Tevert, the communications director for MPP. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
All right, welcome back, everyone. And today we're going to talk more about my home state of Oregon. As you know, on Monday we went out for a hearing, and on Tuesday we played you some of the responses in that hearing, some of the testimony, including my own, when it came to a couple of really bad bills that would limit medical marijuana grows in this state. And we're not going to get too deep into the weeds, pardon the pun, on Oregon politics here, but I will just kind of flesh out the general picture. And that is that the Measure 91 was crafted to grant to the Oregon Liquor Control Commission the authority to regulate marijuana in the state. That's right, the liquor people are going to run marijuana. Now, this is not without precedent. In Washington State, the Washington State Liquor Control Board is in charge of regulating marijuana. And one of the arguments that was made for this is that, A, we got a commission here that has experience regulating mind-altering substance. And there's a certain, you know, there's a certain value to that, I suppose. I mean, here's a commission that regulates the worst drug there is, right? By all measures, alcohol, the most dangerous, the most deadly, the most altering, all of that. And all right, so they're not perfect. And yeah, the OLCC here in Oregon does get accused of corruption in all various ways. But I mean, maybe not much more than any other regulatory agency that has to do with a lot of profit in any other field for that matter. So I don't know how much I can put into that, but still, it was a little weird. We're going to give marijuana regulation over to the Liquor Control Commission. And the question that came up was why do that? Why not create a cannabis commission? Well, the problem that was explained to me by some people was, well, yeah, you could create a new commission, but then you get bogged down in the details of how's the commission staffed and who's going to staff it and where do they get the stuff and what's their jurisdiction and how does that overlap with this and that and the other thing. And you got to sell voters on, hey, we're going to make a new piece of bureaucracy. And generally voters, you know, another bureaucracy, another set of state government, maybe they're not too attuned to that. So what has been transpiring then is that the Oregon Liquor Control Commission has been holding these listening tours where they go around the state and they hold these little public meetings to gauge people's responses to various policy options. You know, things like, should there be a cap on how many recreational grow sites there are? Or should there be a limit on how much potency there is in a marijuana edible? You know, just basic policy stuff, and people would respond to it. And there's been meetings, you know, the commission itself holds its meetings, you know, to figure out what they're going to regulate. And there's been these legislative hearings at the State House from the Measure 91 Implementation Committee. which is another part that the legalization effort got us, was a joint committee, you know, make your own joke, right? A joint committee, that just means representatives and senators, House and Senate, right? Joint committee, I think there's 10 members, or is it 12? Whatever, there's 12, I think it's 12. 12 members on the committee, Republicans and Democrats, senators and representatives. And they've been meeting and taking testimony and getting recommendations from this Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And the Liquor Control Commission has made a whole bunch of recommendations. My God, it was pages and pages of it. Some of it was just, you know, technical little fixes in a word here or there. Others were things like, you know, giving them authority to conduct stings. You know, if they want to have minor stings to go in and bust pot shops like they do for booze, right? Things like that. Little, you know, technical glitches they have to fix. But other things were very serious. Very serious things like folding the medical marijuana system into the recreational system and not allowing someone who's growing recreational marijuana to also grow medical marijuana and making it so you could either be one kind of store or another kind of store. All sorts of things that they've come up with these recommendations. So attending these hearings and hearing the testimony and going through all the work has generally just been anywhere from frustrating to dull, right? It's government, so it's not the most exciting stuff sometimes. But in yesterday's hearing, boy, did I miss the one that I should have gone to, apparently. That's the way it always works out, isn't it? In yesterday's hearing, they had a work session, and in work sessions, they're not taking testimony so much as at getting questions and answers from experts, right? So they had a work session with the OLCC staff that came in. I don't know if any of the board were there or not, but the staff were there to answer questions from the senators and representatives on various aspects of some of these bills. I think one of them was, you know, creating a license for testing facilities, right? Because Measure 91 has producer, processor, wholesaler, and retailer licenses, but it doesn't have any sort of research license. So this hearing apparently went on. I didn't listen to the whole thing, with questions and answers and thoughts and considerations and suggestions and so forth. And had gotten all the way to the end, right? 2-hour session. And this session starts at 5 p.m., right? So you're getting towards 7 p.m. here in Oregon, and everybody's been sitting through this whole thing and going over section 136, paragraph 2, subsection I. You know, the way it can be, right? It can get that way sometimes. When Senator Ted Farrioli dropped a bomb. Now, Senator Farrioli is the Republican minority leader in the Senate. He's the top-ranking Republican in the Senate. He's on this joint committee. Senator Ginny Burdick is a Democrat in the Senate. She's from Portland, and I think she's the president pro tem of the Senate. Right. So I think she's the Senate leader on the Democratic side. She's the chair of this hearing, and she's in the motion of gaveling this thing for an adjournment. Right. Like, she's got the gavel in her hand. She's making some final statements before she's going to say, and now this meeting's adjourned. Right. She's just at that precipice when Senator Ted Farrioli breaks in with one of my favorite moments in Oregon legislative history. Listen.
The next meeting of the Marijuana Committee is Chang. You have a question?
I do. This is for Adam.
Okay.
Adam, is there what are the entities in Colorado and Washington State that would function as the administrative authority overarching the recreational marijuana programs?
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Farrioli, I don't have that information at this time, but I can
certainly. What agencies?
Yes. So I guess I'll the subset of that question is, has anybody established a cannabis commission, a standalone cannabis commission?
That's good and it's bad.
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Farrioli, I will certainly look into whether or not a new entity, a cannabis commission, has been created in either Washington or Colorado.
And Madam Chair, the source of those questions is, notwithstanding the heroic efforts of the OLCC staff, my confidence in their ability to manage this program is rapidly diminishing. So, you know, some of the complexities that we've discussed lead me to believe that there's a lot of expertise that currently doesn't exist in the commission, and it doesn't currently exist in the staff. So, you know, I'm curious about comments that our House colleagues have made about the level of expertise that is in the community that perhaps we're underutilizing. But I guess, you know, I guess as an illustration, I would use this question. We're talking about creating a brand new license for research facilities, yet the agency doesn't seem to know the difference between micrograms and milligrams. And I would be curious to know how, you know, this highly technical medical specialty will be administered by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which perhaps it should be under the OHA, not the OLCC, just the question of medical marijuana research facilities. So I just ask. You know, I'll add the note of skepticality, which is growing, and I'll make the suggestion that the OLCC is the wrong facility to have administer our licensed research facilities.
Okay, well, on that cheery note, I will announce that we will not be having a meeting on Monday, and we will be reconvening on Wednesday, so check OLIS for the agenda. And we are adjourned.
Yeah, so that is the news. Senator Farioli, the top Republican in the Senate, wants to blow the OLCC completely out of the process entirely. And to me, what a damning question that he asks. A simple damn question here. What are the entities in Colorado and Washington State that function as the administrative authority over the recreational marijuana programs? And all you can say is, I don't have that information at this time. How can you be 3 months into the regulatory process and not just fail to understand how Colorado and Washington have been regulating recreational marijuana for the past 2 years, but fail to even know the name of the agencies? The Marijuana Enforcement Division in Colorado and the Washington State Liquor Control Board, by the way. The names of the agencies they should have been consulting with since the beginning. Holy crap, they don't even know the name of the entities. Now, in my chat room, they're asking, why is the booze industry overseeing a medical industry? They're not. Currently, medical marijuana is under the auspices of the Oregon Health Authority, the OHA. And these guys at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission have been given the authority to oversee the recreational marijuana. And they're arguing that large portions of the medical side, particularly the larger medical grows and some of the dispensaries, need to be folded over into the recreational side for their control. And that's what Farioli was standing up against. I also got to applaud the fact that he picked out that they didn't, in earlier testimony, couldn't get straight the difference between micrograms and milligrams. Folks, this is a situation where Senator Farioli, as a Republican, has called for a policy I wholeheartedly endorse. And this is rare in my political career, let me tell you. But he is calling for a separate cannabis commission. He actually said, within there, some of the complexities that we've discussed lead me to believe that there's a lot of expertise that currently doesn't exist in the commission, and it doesn't currently exist in the staff. And what about the level of expertise that's in the community that perhaps we're underutilizing? And he asked about whether or not Colorado or Washington had instituted specific marijuana-only commissions. And the answer to that is yes. The entire Marijuana Enforcement Division in Colorado is an entire bureaucracy that has nothing to do with alcohol and everything to do with marijuana. I've written this up on marijuanapolitics.com. The headline is State Senator Blasts Liquor Commission, and I've got that soundbite if you want to hear it again. Check out marijuanapolitics.com for that. But that's all the time we got here for hour one. But stay tuned for hour two. I've got updates on marijuana policy project down in Arizona, as well as a shocking puppy side. Once again, canine death at the hands of a law enforcement officer. I'll tell you all about that coming up next. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Hey, hey, hey.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you